Wine with Cassie and Henry.
Hello, welcome to Butler's podcast.
So this episode we thought we would talk about the wine region and the wines of Muscadet, which is a style of wine and a place that we really like. And the reason that we're talking about it is because we finally got our shipments direct from Muscadet, which has gone through all the Brexit barriers and has managed to arrive safe and sound.
I think it went via Africa and Australia.
It seems like it's been travelling around Europe for many weeks.
Months.
And it was battered. You didn't see the pallet, but it was... It got quite a bit of attention on its route.
Well, so that's great, seeing as it's cost us a small fortune to actually ship it and get the labels redone and everything else we have to do to qualify for the many, many rules and systems that are now in place.
But we are super pleased to have the wines in stock, aren't we, Cassie Gould? Yes. And we're particularly pleased because they are the we have two different Muscadets that have come in, and two different producers, and they are our friends. And we've known them for, 15 years, maybe?
Probably something like that.
So in a previous life, we did some wine videos on winebox.tv, which is still out there in the ether somewhere. And we did a video promoting the wines of Muscadet, because at the time, they'd had a run of poor vintages, and there were supermarkets were putting a lot of pressure on the costs.
They had really bad hail, producers. Didn't they? So there's lots of hailstorms there.
It's the problem, yes. And so they're having a rough time, and producers looked like they were going to go out of business. So we did a video saying, let's support Muscadet and let's drink more Muscadet. And then that got picked up somehow by Vanson and Thierry, and at the time Guillaume. And
Christoph, their English teacher.
Their English teacher, yeah. Who saw the video and got in contact with us and said, thanks very much, we're heroes of Muscadet. He might not have said that, I might have just made that up. And would we like their wines?
No, they said, can they come and meet us and show their wines to us?
Wines, yeah.
But I think it wasn't to do with Muscadet at the time, was it? They were in an English, they were learning to speak English.
Yeah, Christoph was teaching business people in the Loire to speak English, which I think he probably still is, isn't he?
He's in a band. Christoph does mainly music.
Oh, yeah, it was great. They're really good. They're really good people. So they came over.
Yes, they turned up at the shop, and we had a pallet of wine on the doorstep that had just been delivered, so they all helped us carry it in.
Yeah, they took it down to the cellar for
very
us, which,
helpful.
Is, which is great.
And
so
they're
we liked
sort of
them
three
immediately.
Big blokes, well, two apart and a half.
About from Vanson, Le Petit Vanson. Yeah, and then they brought their wines with them.
They brought a lot of wines with them.
Yeah, and we did a tasting in the back of the pub, I think, wasn't it? Yes, it was.
We did the shop. We tasted them first, and then we did a tasting with them all.
And we got quite a few people to come along, and everyone loved them because they had their French accents, and that's
and they love beer.
Attractive.
They like British beer.
Yeah, where they live, they don't seem to have a massive choice and range of beers available. So coming to Brighton, where craft beer is quite a big thing, they were super excited, probably overexcited.
Judging by what happened next, yes.
Did you end up in a nightclub with them or something?
And that was the next time they visited.
Okay. But we got on really, really well, and we shipped their wines, which was great, and we've sold them ever since, haven't we?
Yeah. And we refer to them as the Muscadetiers.
The Muscadetiers. And so currently, at the moment, we've got the wines from Vanson, which is Domaine Cognet, and Thierry, which is Chateau de la Cormoray, because they sort of fit the range that we want at the moment. But we thought we ought to explain a little bit about Muscadet and where it is and the styles of wine that it makes, because we're big fans.
Yeah, and I think some it maybe has been seen as a bit less fashionable.
Yes.
So I don't know what it is, a bit of a stigma there, saying it's maybe old-fashioned and you drink it with a bit of Dover sole or something.
Yes, which sounds really nice, actually.
It would be very nice. And there seems to be, I don't know, I think Picpoul maybe has taken off in place. There's the similar kind of styles.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Pickpull suddenly had a massive trend over the last few years.
I wonder if it's because it's a shorter name that's easier to pronounce, or if there's more of it being promoted. I don't know.
I don't know.
But Muscadet comes from it's a place, and it comes from the Nantes part of the River Loire, which is the westernmost point of the River Loire, sort of going out into the Atlantic Ocean, which influences the style of wine because the Atlantic is a massive cold body of water, so you get very cooling breezes. So the wines are never big and heavy and rich. They're on the lighter style. And it's a dry style of wine, and not to be confused with Muscat, which sometimes people do that, don't they?
Yes, and it's not the same at all.
No, Muscadet is not made from Muscat. It's nothing to do with the Muscat grape. Muscat is often the sweet wine.
And very aromatic.
Very aromatic, and Muscadet is a dry white wine. But you can in the Muscadet region, you can have other styles of wine. The dominant one is the light, crisp, dry white wine, but you can have sparkling wine. You can have reds made from Gamay and Cabernet Franc, and there are rosés as well, and I think there are some, well, we know there are some sweet wines as well.
And we've had them all, haven't we, over the years?
We have. And there's some words on the label that helps to describe the quality level and the sort of hierarchy of the wine. So you can buy very cheap, and especially if you go there, just straight Muscadet. It just says Muscadet on the label, so that means that fruit will come from anywhere within the broad region of Muscadet. And that tends to be the sort of cheaper, more everyday drinking, sort of more supermarket, I guess.
Breakfast wine.
We've got the wines that we have are labelled Muscadet Sèvres et Mar, which are two different rivers, as your actual French, sur lee, which means the wine has been aged on its lees. Historically, apparently, winemakers would keep a little barrel of wine in old oak and keep it aside for special occasions like a wedding or a big birthday or something. And they found that after that aging period, the wine tasted better. So the sur lee process is where the wine needs to be kept not in oak but in tanks on the dead dried yeast cells and anything else that's in the wine that falls to the bottom of the tank for
the lees.
That's called the lees, and that's for a minimum of 6 months.
Which has got it's kind of yeasty bits of stuff.
Yeah.
So it gives it a creamy texture and some sort of like a creamier, more rounded profile.
Yeah, and that's right to use the word texture, and it often sometimes it feels like the wine has been aged in oak a little bit, but it hasn't. It's just this aging process. It
takes maybe some of the harshness off the acid.
Yeah, it can do that. And so they're harvesting in the autumn time, sort of, I don't know, anywhere between August and October, say. And they'll be aging it until at least March before they start putting it into bottle and getting it ready for dispatch. So it makes it quite an interesting wine because that's the minimum, and we can get on to that in a sec with one of the wines that we have. The grape variety is called Melon de Bourgogne. It's not really used anywhere else. I'm sure there are parcels, but it's
Melon of Burgundy.
Very good translation skills.
But it's not from Burgundy, so...
So it's nice that they're making it from a local grape variety and they're not trying to make a Sauvignon Blanc or a Riesling or anything. The cat is going nuts in the background, isn't it?
I was just thinking, she just jumped off the counter, so what she had her face in?
She's breaking
biscuits
into something or breaking out of something, it sounds like. And the good thing for the modern drinker is that... The
alcohol.
The maximum. They in most of France, you by law, you have to get a minimum level of alcohol in your wine because that implies that your grapes are ripe. With Muscadet, they put a maximum, and so all of the Muscadet wines are 12% and not higher. So they're not super strong, but they do have loads and loads of flavour, which
that's quite good though. So sort of it's
really good.
Ideal lunchtime wine. It's a good 2-bottle wine.
Yeah.
You know where you're at with it.
Yeah.
So you're not going to get funked up.
Funked up.
After a couple of glasses.
You were careful there, weren't you?
Mm-hmm.
So they're the basics. The wines that we've got at the moment from Domaine Cognette, which is Vincent's wine.
Vincent.
And his organic brother. They are an organic producer, aren't they? Maybe they do a bit of biodynamics as well. They make a load of different wines.
Yep. Every style, actually, they do, from sparkling to sweet.
They do. And so we've got the sort of house Muscadet, which is delicious.
Which is really good. We've had that one for years consistently and sold that into restaurants, and it's fantastic.
There's no rush to drink it. It ages really well.
We always say it has that slight bit of a hazelnutty. There's something hazelnutty in there.
Quite interesting,
isn't
it?
It's not often
a super expensive wine. And we served it, in fact, in Magnums at our wedding, in fact, didn't we?
Really?
Yes, we did.
Oh.
Yeah, you forgot that. We've actually got married. And what we did.
I was drinking toffee vodka.
But what we also have we've brought over to try from them is a sparkling wine, which has been aged for 14 months on its lees, made like a champagne, from Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. I haven't tried it yet. Black label, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It's quite cool.
It's $19.99, so it's well worth a try.
What, the price rather than the vintage?
Yes.
Yeah. And then a wine called Clisson in bottles and magnums, which is a small sub-region in the area. And it's like a crew. It's like a Premier League vineyard area. And they make wine there. And they have aged the wine on its lees for much longer. And I can't remember what it is. It might be 2 years, might be 3 years.
I was
going to
say, we had one that was about 5 years.
It's an older vintage as well, and you sort of treat it like a good white Burgundy. It's a complex wine. It's rich. It has layers of flavour. Really excellent wines, and we've got those in
2019
in bottles and magnums, which is cool, isn't it? And then we've got King.
And Clisson, is that where the Hellfest is?
Yeah, it might be actually.
That's another region.
A little goth.
Another reason to visit Muscadet is Hellfest is the biggest rock festival
outside of Germany.
Yeah.
In the world, ever.
And it's in Muscadet.
And this is a little village, isn't it? This is a little, small.
Well, they'll
sleepy,
have like Metallica
rural.
Headlining or something, and you could go and drink Muscadet and hang out in a field, listening to rock.
And it's really hard to get tickets, isn't it? Because it's so popular.
Yes.
People start booking it.
So I have to call your friend Vincent.
Vincent will sort us out. And then you can drink Muscadet behind the bars as well. How cool is that?
Yeah, it's much better.
Having Muscadet at a
imagine Muscadet and oysters with a bit of death metal.
That'd be amazing. Why aren't we going?
Well, we've been talking about it for years.
Well, I know. We should just go, shouldn't we? And then we've got Thierry, Chateau de la Cormorée, and Thierry was always gave the impression that he's like the king of Muscadet, and that
because he's got a chateau.
Royal Thierry, who lives in his castle.
Yes, and
brilliant.
He also claimed not to speak English, but after about 8 pints, he's almost fluent.
And he's a certified sustainable producer, and has parcels of vines over many different sites, and his Muscadet is a blend of those vineyards, and I drank it. We had it last weekend, didn't we? And it was absolutely delicious. And then Sam was pouring it in the shop, and it proved extremely popular. So we're really pleased to have that wine in again. And looking forward to selling that. And we're going to get his crew wine. He has a different crew, Fiacre. We're going to get that in next time.
What we should do is get them back over here for a tasting.
Definitely.
Because it was very good fun. So they came back. So the Muscadeteers came back to the UK almost every year until COVID to come and see us and do tastings and hang out and bring booze.
Yeah,
and we've had a lot of fun.
We had them on the in the food festival on the seafront as well, didn't we?
Oh,
on
yeah.
Home Thorns. And then we went back to where was it, Lion and Lobster or somewhere like that, and got on the sauce. Christoph got into a little bit of trouble, didn't he, there, I think.
Well, every time. And these guys, they didn't know, they knew each other through the English classes, didn't they? But they weren't sort of best mates. And then since they started coming over to see us, they then all share a camper van now.
Yeah.
So they drive over together and they all sleep in the camper van in the campsite near to our house.
It's great.
Which is quite dangerous.
And
but I mean, I would not want to be on that van, I don't think, especially in the morning.
And I tell you who else is really cool from that party is Christoph's son. What was his name? Well, still, he still is the same name. He came over, didn't he, a couple of times? Two or three times.
Yeah, he's very cool.
He was very chatty and very nice. So it's good because we've made proper connections there.
Yes, and we've taken them out clubbing. Really? We've taken them out. We had a pool tournament with them.
Yeah.
I was still there, I think, at 4 a.m.
I bet you were.
And shots of, like, lime sour or something dreadful.
But the wines, they're very easy to drink, but they're interesting wines, and they work super well with oysters and shellfish, and as you said, the stuff like sole, like nice, simple, really good fish dishes.
Yeah, it's a really perfect pairing for a bit of white fish.
Yes.
Really, it's a go-to, definitely, and a dry white wine. You know, if you just want something safe that's a sort of light, crisp, dry white, it's a really good option. Yeah,
it's not too heavy. So our message from this podcast is to drink more Muscadet and support the Muscadet producers, because they still have, you know, last time I saw Vincent, they have a real problem with frost in that part of the world, and that can wipe out their not just Vincent, all producers, it can wipe out your whole harvest. Or the potential of the harvest, because it's in springtime that they get the frost. So it's
and the hailstones were like golf balls.
Yeah, difficult area to make wine. So I think we should support these producers. And I hope they have a renaissance and people really get into it and Muscadet becomes fashionable again.
What? Well, we've been championing it for years, so we will keep doing it.
Yes, we will.
Maybe we'll do a Muscadet and Oyster Festival. We've talked about that before.
Oh, with Johnny...
Oyster.
Johnny Shaka. Johnny the
Mother
Shaka.
Mother Shaka.
Mother Shaka. Yeah, let's do it. Okay, I think, have we covered all the bases there?
Yeah, drink some Muscadet. Go to visit the Loire as well. It's meant to be fab.
Yeah. Brilliant. Okay.
Till next time.
Bye.
Bye.
I hope you got all that. Doodle pip.